'Tis the season here on Netflix Picks, and we are going to tell you what is upcoming and what you can watch right now. Come on with us.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Here we are. It is time. He's coming. He's got a list. He's
Bruce Springsteen
it.
Or Santa?
Oh my
Both.
God.
Both. Both Bruce Springsteen and Santa Claus have a list. They're different lists. One is a very boring HR list because Bruce Springsteen is the boss. Hello.
Oh.
It is time for Netflix Picks here, complete with my puns.
So
I'm Steve
good.
Kaufman, your host, filling in for Rick Hong, who
Woo-hoo!
Is all over the place. Speaking of all over the place, Ashley Chaney, fresh off a plane from Australia. Don't check my math.
Yes.
Don't check my math for how long she's been here.
It's quick. I am back. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be in the land where Christmas is celebrated and it gets a little bit chillier.
That doesn't happen in Australia.
They did have Christmas trees, but it was remarkably not Christmas feeling. Probably because it was like beautiful and summer weather and beachy and
fair.
Not that it's that far off here, but anyway, good to be back. Hi, everybody.
And in the festive season, Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hello, that is me. I am wearing a Darth Vader Santa hat. That is me. I'm also in the chat, everyone. Hi.
So say hi, let her know. We're all here. Let's jump into Netflix original releases.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of inside baseball for us here. This is when Netflix doubles or even triples down what they release, on top of us as hosts having so much more to do. So there are some honorable mentions, including Sabrina Midwinter's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
None of us were able to get to it, but it did come out this week. And if you're into Sabrina, I'm sure you'd be into Sabrina's Midwinter's Tale. But what did come out this week that Amy and Ashley both saw is Nailed It Holiday Edition.
Can we get a Nailed It up top?
Nailed it!
There it is.
You want to start it off with it, Amy?
Sure. Okay, this was my first time seeing Nailed It.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
So Nicole Byer is the main host, right?
Yes.
And there are 7 episodes. The prize is $10,000, which
kind of low, right?
I thought it was kind of high for what they have to do. I was like, I can do that.
That's the whole point.
I mean, so there's three contestants, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to create things, right? You know, like edible things for the most part, hopefully.
Like
I would
Pinterest
like
worthy, super difficult to for even a professional baker, I think, to achieve. Like the very artistic, high level, crafty baking type in this show, baking.
Now there's only 2 rounds.
There's only 2 rounds.
What the heck?
But it's 33-minute episodes, so it's kind of like.
But you could do 3 rounds, and it's like 10, 10, 10. Bam.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it feels weird, because then the winner of the first one, like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. Because the winner of the second round is the winner of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
is the first round fun to watch, at least? Or
I am happy to get my thought on the whole show, which I'm curious to see what yours is. Because I did watch Nailed It, the original, which was like, about 5 to 7 minutes of this is all anybody needs. It doesn't need to be a half hour show to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's a lot. Because y'all know I live and breathe food competition, foodie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's just like, why are you yelling at me all the time? Like, she'll be like, okay, it's time to bake. It's like, you could just say, we're going to start now. So she's always screaming. And like, I God bless her, because I know she's a comedian, Nicole Byer, Amy mentioned. And she's funny and cute. And I feel like some producers in her ear just being like, okay, go to level 18. Just take it down. It's a lot.
Just like Cupcake Wars. Like Aziz Ansari and Cupcake Wars. It's like, yes!
Yeah, but that's
Cupcakes!
Aziz. He's like actual Aziz. This is like, I don't know. It's a lot.
That's fair.
It's a lot. It feels like maybe a younger. It's weird. I feel like maybe they aren't sure who their audience is, because they're definitely playing to like a younger crowd, but everybody that from contestants and judges alike are like older. Speaking of judges, it was fun to see the guest, one of the guest judges from Orange is the New Black, the correctional officer. So they sometimes have fun guest judges on and stuff. But
yeah, I like their role, the judges, because it's like you don't have to be that nice about it. You're like, well, hey, you tried. It's just like, here's like a participatory like ribbon kind of thing. And it's just, I don't know. I thought it was nice. I think her energy is just like way too much.
Yeah.
And it's a little too produced. And like, as far as feeling like a good, you know, kind of like a food competition show.
Yeah.
Obviously it's super relatable. Yes. But I'm not a huge fan. I did skip to episode 7. I don't know if you saw that one.
I watched episode 1. What was episode 7 about?
7. They had like makers. So it wasn't like food. It wasn't like baking. It was making things.
Yeah. Yes.
And But it certainly, it'll make you feel better about what you can do yourself.
Right.
I have to say.
I think that's sort of the appeal, but it's kind of a funny place to put a show, like a food competition show, because you're really not seeing skill. So yeah. It's kind of like, how are we supposed to feel dramatic or like inclined kind of to keep watching this? Because you just know, like, nobody's going to do a great job. And that's kind of funny, but like, I don't know that it warrants it.
Well, and then it's a competition. It's almost to the point, I'm going to rework this show I've never seen. In the room right now, I think it would be, if it were a straight up comedy, what you would do is tell them you're going to do your best with a terrible situation.
Yeah.
But what you don't tell them is the judges are actually going to reward the worst one.
Yeah, something like that.
I would really enjoy that show.
Do you guys remember when we talked about the Cooking High show?
Like, I saw that one while you were gone.
Yeah. And that show's like 17 minutes. And like, that's all it needs to be. In my opinion, this show could be 17 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I do prefer this one over Cooking on High. There's something about that one.
Those were like legit chefs though on Cooking High.
Yeah, but like, they were like professionals. Yeah. But the judges, I was like, what the heck are you?
I know.
No. But I do have to say that it makes me want to go on the show. So whoever's listening, if you're in charge, because wouldn't that be fun?
They cast for those kinds of shows all the time.
Yeah.
We should go on it together. Maybe they do a team one.
You know what? Yeah, 10K.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the recipes right there.
Tune in next.
This is the clip you're going to send them.
Hell yeah.
Hey. Yes, we can do it.
Hey, we're ready. We're camera ready. Happened. Nailed it. That's a good button. There's no good way to transition from Nailed It into this next film. It's by Alfonso Cuarón. Mm-hmm. Amy, you watched it. It's Roma. People are saying it's the best film this year.
Yeah, well, he nailed it.
Ah. Ooh. She knew how to transition.
Did it.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes, it was also written by him as well.
Yes.
Roma has been nominated for Golden Globes, Critics' Choice Awards as well.
Yep.
I mean, it's all in black and white, which I feel like I kind of forgot. I didn't even see the trailer before I started watching it. It is rated R, 2 hours, 15 minutes. It is set in Mexico City, and they do speak Spanish, a little bit of English. I think there's some, like, Japanese in there. Which
subtitled?
Is
it subtitled?
Yeah. Well, I listened to it in Spanish because I speak Spanish. But, you can, like, put all the subtitles.
I've seen about half this, and I can say, because I'm normally one for if it's between you watching it or not watching it, you should listen to the dubs and still watch.
Yeah.
And I tried to find dubs for this, and they don't have dubs for this.
Yeah, which, like...
It seems like a choice.
I think that's okay. I've seen, you know, foreign films where you do have to read subtitles. Mm. And I think there's a certain kind of, like, okay, you really have to want to watch this movie. And I really do think people should watch this one. It's about a year in the life of a family's maid. Oh, this family's, like, a really high-end one. It is, like I said, set in Mexico City in the 1970s. Mm. And it's really interesting. Like I said, it's 2 hours, 15 minutes. It feels like one of those movies where you're like, you're important. Okay, I need to sit down, pay attention, and watch it. It's really good. I do suggest it. I love Alfonso Cuarón. I think he's amazing. And it's certainly dark at points. It'll surprise you, because I was like, hey, okay, we're going along with this. The cinematography is amazing, though.
She could expect nothing less from Mr. Say it again with Cuarón. Your beautiful Cuarón.
Cuarón.
Cuarón. Cuarón.
Okay.
Cuarón.
We caught on fast.
Yeah. There you go, guys. You got this. So, high recommend. Absorb it for every beautiful thing that it really offers. Everyone did amazing. You know, the lead actress in this, she'd never acted before.
Mm.
I like those.
She's really
good. Where they're just genuine.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah.
Black and White is a bold choice, though. The last black and white film to be nominated for a Golden Globe won, which was The Artist. Remember that movie?
Yeah. I believe he shot this on 16mm, so it was a very aesthetic choice.
Yeah.
Because I remember it had a short run here in LA that I couldn't make it out
to. Yeah, yeah.
In actual theaters in a 16mm print before it made it to Netflix, and all the reviews I was hearing was like, if you can get there, you should go and watch it in an actual theater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I just got the screener of this. So, hey. It's already making the PR circuits.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Then if you haven't seen this, I'm sure you've heard of this. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Speaking of heard of it and huge PR blitz, I watched a brand new release.
Okay.
I don't always do this here on Netflix Picks. Something dropped on the 16th, which was midnight last night. And I actually found out why. And it's Springsteen on Broadway. And it's because Springsteen has been on Broadway doing a show for close to a year. And his last performance was Saturday the 15th.
Oh, wow.
So they recorded probably more than one and then cut them together. And it's about two and a half hours. And I love that idea of, like, I've done it enough. I've done it more than I expected to. And now it's off Broadway. And here it is on Netflix immediately.
That is so exciting for people to have accessibility to yes. a Broadway show that couldn't go to see an actual Broadway
and
show.
And, like, such a hot ticket Broadway show. Like, yeah. people talk a lot about Hamilton and Book of Mormon and, like, stuff yes. that's at Broadway. But Hamilton will be on Broadway for a long time, just not with the same cast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something like this, he was done starting yesterday.
Wow.
It's on Netflix. It's over. If you want to watch it, watch the Netflix one.
Does it play? Does it feel like you're watching a Broadway show from home?
It feels very uniquely what he wanted it to be, which is a guy from Asbury Park doing a one-man Broadway show. And I had to read a couple other reviews today because I'm from the part of the East Coast, like the New Jersey, Philadelphia area, where it's like him, Bon Jovi, and Frank Sinatra are our patron saints. So
the
I need
patron saint of Jersey.
So like I watched this and I was immediately enamored and like, oh my God, he's so great. Everything about this is great. He plays a couple hits. He plays a lot. It's based on his book Born to Run, which was also a really good read. I had to read a couple other reviews to make sure everyone else was saying that this was great. They're saying it's great too. I agree. This was a really good.
So, like, what's the format? Is it, like, he speaks and then he sings, or, like,
he speaks and then he sings, but it's not in a concert format. So the concert uh-huh. format would have been more songbook style of, uh-huh. yeah, I've done a bunch of great stuff, and when I wrote this song, I was mm-hmm. going through this.
Yeah.
He does the extra mile of a very one-man performative piece
wow,
of
okay.
really going in, and there's a lot of stuff, a lot of poems and prose he wrote specifically for the book or specifically for this play hmm. that he used to lead into songs that were in the emotional, he would do a poem or something that will lead you into the emotional space he was in when he wrote a song.
Oh, cool.
And then he'll do the song, and it's just him, it seemed like two different guitars, a piano, and then his wife comes out for a song.
Wow.
It's,
that's awesome.
It's wonderful. It's 2.5 hours. It's the gospel according to Bruce in my world.
Bruce. Oh, very cool.
In my world, but I think it's a very good performative piece, and it's also very autobiographical. And something that is worth pointing out, that Bruce Springsteen as a performer is so charismatic that a lesser performer, you would immediately see this format and go, well, we're going to have to put in some B-roll.
Yeah.
We're going to need a screen up there to see who he's talking about, kind of have some backlighting. None of that.
Oh, wow.
And I really enjoy, like,
zero B-roll, just him the whole time.
Zero B-roll, him the whole time. And he's that charismatic. He has that much of a stage presence.
Wow. Okay.
It really plays. It's a really high recommend from me.
And he's not like a spring chicken.
No, he's not. Well, because he was in one of, pretty early on, he was talking about how he saw Elvis when he was on TV when he was 7.
Stop. No way.
And that how he rented a guitar for 2 weeks and then didn't learn how to play the guitar and had to give it back.
Aww.
That's heartbreaking, but
it turned out okay for Bruce.
But yes, to watch fine. Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, yeah. clearly playing the guitar and the harmonica and the piano.
Yeah.
It all worked out.
We have Zias B. Lou in the chat saying maybe Netflix will start doing this more with Broadway live
yes.
shows. That would be awesome.
I've been pretty close to the Hamilton tour, as you guys probably know, and I've gotten into disagreements with people who do merch on the Hamilton tour who were saying, yep, nope, Netflix will never have enough to buy it. Like this, because Hamilton's going to make $1 billion over 20 years. And I'm like, jeez. Yeah, but Netflix has $1 billion right now.
Well, right now they do. And
but like that's, but they would have yeah. they would have $1 billion. And would it not, would Hamilton not make $1 billion if it were on Netflix as a live performance?
I don't know enough about the economics. I don't think any of us know enough about the economics of how Netflix makes their money.
Just keep
doing what you do, Netflix.
And I don't know.
We're glad to have a job because of you.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's a locked-in racket to live theater that are like, no, if you shoot it with 6 cameras and put it on Netflix after 5 years, no one goes to live theater anymore. Mm. So that might be built in that no one's going to do that. Also, Hamilton's a bad example because I'm sure that movie's coming. And then
that movie's coming.
That's just what'll happen. And Lin can rule the world.
Yes.
I mean, he kind of already...
Lin for president, started. Everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, 2020.
So, Ashley, you have some words for us.
I do. I have some special words for our After Buzzers. You know, as you guys know, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from reality TV, dramas, sci-fi, you name it, we cover them all. And there is really no network that works harder to serve television fans than us right here. So now we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. We do have quite a few. You're here watching us on the main AfterBuzz TV channel. But if you look to the right of your screen, you'll find a bunch of our other channels from, let's see, competition to sci-fi.
Sports and wrestling. Sports I'm on the sports and wrestling. Later tonight, we're trying a real cool thing.
Real cool thing happening later on sports and
Wrestling and sports.
The point is we've got all kinds of channels for all kinds of fans out there. And we need you to subscribe to one or more. But if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, you guys. They are totally optional. Feel free to turn them off. So please hit that subscribe button right now. If you haven't already, please do it. We are waiting for you to do it. It matters so much. And let us know that you did so in the comments, and we will give you a shout out on air and say hello to all of our wonderful subscribers. So in the meantime, thank you so much for being the best fans out there and helping us to be the ESPN of TV Talk. We love you so much.
All right. Now we're on to Netflix regular releases. Mm-hmm. Ashley, you saw The Great British Baking
yes!
Show.
Yes. Who's in the... I know. Come on. Stardrew, are you in the chat? Who has been waiting?
Is.
Okay. You guys have got to chime in if there's any of the Great British Bake Off fans out there. As you guys know, I'm a huge Great British Bake Off fan, but I'm really pretty loyal to the original cast of judges. So I had pretty much dropped off watching since the first four seasons. So, because now they have Prue in place of Mary Berry, and she's great and everything, but she's no Mary Berry. Mm-hmm. Mary Berry has, like, a special grandma place in my heart. But she's great. Prue is really nice and lovely. What is awesome, though, especially for the OG fans, is that they brought back contestants from the original seasons. So, this is a very special holiday sort of mini event, if you will, for Great British Bake Off. There are two episodes only. So for that reason, I've only watched one. I'm parsing it out. I will watch it before Christmas, the second one. It's its typical 55-minute long format. They bring in four contestants from over the from various previous seasons. In the first one-hour episode, they brought back Val, who, if you guys remember, she's the school teacher who exercises while she cooks. She's awesome.
Wow.
She's super clumsy and spastic, and she brought her usual self to the competition this time. We also see Selassie again. Selassie's one of my favorite bakers. It was so fun to see him back on the competition. And then they had Paul, who, if you guys remember, he's the one that's like really architectural. Wow. Some of the stuff that they were making, I'll talk about in just a sec. But Paul is like an architect in the kitchen. It's amazing. And then Becca, who makes she's like very famous for her macaroons. And then she brought it too.
Those are pretty.
So in traditional format of the Great British Baking Show, they have three challenges. The first one was that everybody had to make a Yule log. Do you guys know what a Yule log is?
Yes,
right? So it's all Christmas themed. It's the tent, the baking tent is all decked out in full Christmas theme. They even made it snow outside. It was raining in England. It's just delightful Christmas baking, everything you want it to be. And like I said, for that reason, I am parsing it out. So their competitions are Yule logs, and then their technical challenge was the mince pie. Harder than you think. Harder than you think to make a mince pie. And then finally, they finished off with the snow globe cake challenge, which is freaking crazy and hard to do. They've got people blowing glass snowballs.
Well, I was gonna say, so is that sugar?
It's sugar, and that stuff is so hard to work. It's
this
show, if you guys have seen it, and I know you've seen a couple of episodes, I think.
I started watching one.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot right before Doctor Who comes on.
It's amazing because it's a cooking show, right?
Yes.
And you think this is not going to be dramatic. I'm not going to be invested, and you are like glued to your TV because it's fun. It's not like the American TV American cooking competition shows or competition shows in general.
It's like the anti Gordon Ramsay show.
Everybody's so nice.
Like everybody's super nice. Like I was so taken aback when I first saw this show of just like
they're all so nice.
They're like helping each other.
They're totally helping each other. They're all really nice to each other, and yet you're still super invested. It's not like boring.
Yeah.
It's just a delight, and I couldn't recommend it highly enough. It's just the best, and if you don't watch it, then you're no friend of mine.
I'll watch it now. Oh my gosh.
No, it's very good. Is anybody chiming in the comment on the Great British Bake Show?
Stardrew's curious. Fruitcake. Anyone like them?
You raise a very good point, sir. I don't even like Christmas pudding, like Christmas cake, Christmas pudding, as they call it. I don't like that flavor, and I don't like fruit in my thing. So
I'll actually weigh in. There are a couple foods. Fruitcake eggnog and turkey, that there's a reason we only eat once or twice a year.
I love turkey all the time.
All the time. Okay.
Turkey burgers, too. I do love
turkey,
But like actual turkey, like you eat at Thanksgiving. Well, like we only eat that at Thanksgiving.
Carve a turkey on it like a Tuesday. But you could.
I mean, it's a lot of meat.
You could. And if it were great, we would. We do a lot of we tear lobsters apart to eat lobster. There's a reason we only eat an actual turkey once a year. And I think it's similar to why we only drink eggnog like 2 days out of the whole year.
Well, eggnog's disgusting. That's why. But
well, some
I'm
of us
not
beg
sure how I feel about eggnog.
Some of us beg to differ about eggnog.
It's gross.
It acts as good coffee creamer Christmas morning.
That's true. Oh. I'll give you that. I
don't know.
Especially if it's already spiked.
So yes, fruitcake?
Pass on fruit.
Yes on fruitcake once a year, which I think is kind of a no. I think it's like there's like if you were trying to offer me a fruitcake 2 weeks after Christmas, I'd be like, no, thank you.
This is not the time window anymore.
Yeah, like, no, thank you. This is a seasonal food. I think there are some seasonal foods.
I think they literally count as like doorstops. Those effers are just like packed.
Oh, they are packed to heck.
Yeah, they're dense. They're dense cakes.
I'm pretty sure I've never had a fruitcake because I just look at it and I'm like, bye.
Speaking of dense, I have a very challenging pick. And I'm challenging comedy folk. With this pick. And it is in the Army now. It is Pauly Shore's best work.
Oh, Pauly Shore. I freaking love Pauly Shore.
All right. Yes. This film is not the greatest, but I will go on the stand right now and say it does not deserve the 6% Rotten Tomatoes it has. Can we all work together to get that up to 22% Rotten Tomatoes? Pauly Shore's best work deserves better. This is a funny romp. It is one of the first films about Desert Storm based in Iraq. Like, actually...
I've never seen it. I thought Pauly Shore.
This was a lot of fun. It's kind of a hidden gem, if you will.
Yeah.
Although we're not doing that segment this week. We have a lot more news and a top five for you. But I'm throwing it out there. Gauntlet is thrown down. Come at me in the comments.
Pauly Shore.
This is Pauly Shore's best work.
I don't think you're going to get a lot of flack for throwing up something for Pauly Shore, right?
No. Pauly Shore's...
Is he controversial?
The zeitgeist is that Pauly Shore's not a great person or not a great performer.
Really?
Yes. And he had a film called Pauly Shore That Is Dead, which I've seen like shorts from high school freshmen that have looked better.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Because my friend dated him and said he was like a really nice guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So cool. More later.
I can't speak to his stand-up.
But with that.
Loved Encino, man.
Okay. Yeah. So that's going to be the challenge.
Brandon,
hit me up in the off season. Let me know if I'm wrong by saying this is Pauly Shore's best work.
Also, I don't know how to vote on Rotten Tomatoes. Does that make me
a terrible person? Well, no, you have to be a
member.
Well, yeah, you have to be a reviewer invited to join Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm not invited. Totally. I can't even.
I think you might be able to apply to be invited, if you will.
I am not fancy enough. But speaking
of
goal.
Speaking of journalists and news, that brings us to Netflix news.
Hey, Netflix news.
All right. Time.com has reported that there is a beta test happening on Netflix's platform right now, similar to the skip intro button that we all seem to like and not find obtrusive.
I've never used the skip intro button.
But it's a watch that scene again button.
Watch that scene again. Oh, God.
And it shows up in the same lower right. It obviously doesn't happen for me because I'm typically on the Chromecast. But I feel like if you're doing like an Apple TV or a Fire TV or a Roku, they'll have the ability to do this beta test. Mostly what the Time piece I read talks about is how it's a beta test. You can't opt out of it. And a lot of people are finding it very obtrusive.
Huh.
Like the big scene in Dumplin.
Yeah,
the big scene in Dumplin, apparently people have been reporting that in the lower right, a watch that scene again button will appear. And they're testing it to see if people will click it. People will turn off the movie. People will complain about it. It's in the beta test.
Why would you turn off the movie? That seems excessive.
Out of disgust for the button interfering with your viewing experience. I don't know.
No, if it's a good movie, you're going to be like, okay. Like, let me still watch it.
I agree. I would find that button very obtrusive, and the lack of an ability to say I don't want that button. I would also, that would very much get under my crawl if you couldn't hide it,
if there was no way to hide
it. How big is it?
Yeah. It's about the same size as the skip intro button, so like it's not huge. It's just
I've never even seen the skip intro button. What am I doing wrong here?
Are you on Chromecast? Chromecast doesn't get you don't get any of this on the Chromecast.
I'm on a Roku.
The Roku should have a skip intro button.
Let us know in the comments down below.
Yeah. Yes. Do you guys use the skip intro?
Yep.
So far, or has anybody seen the beta?
Yes, has anyone?
Anybody in the comments?
The two titles I've heard this happening were Dumplin' and Shrek.
Okay,
Shrek. There are a couple different scenes where you're like, well, I'd like to see that.
Nope.
That wrestling scene
Shrek.
In. But okay. All right. The David Letterman show has been renewed, according to Deadline, to a season 2.
Yes.
Yay. I'm excited. He's one of those people who, as an interviewer, just kind of gets his pick of guests.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's a talker.
Whoever he wants. I really like that show, and I like he's very equitable with who he picks as a guest. Like, sure. It'll be Jerry Seinfeld, but it'll be the president. It'll be a Nobel Peace Prize winner that we may not have heard of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
He does good work. And Spike Lee, speaking of doing good work, he has a film called See You Yesterday, according to Deadline. Netflix has just picked up that film.
Oh, great.
So either it'll be distributed in the non-traditional sense where they put it in movie theaters, then it goes to Netflix, or it goes straight to Netflix. We're not sure, but...
Oh, I wouldn't see why they would go to theaters ever. I think
they do that, but with Roma, like, they went to theaters. Sometimes, to get nominated for an Academy Award, you have to have played in a theater.
Okay.
So, like, some stuff gets played in a theater specifically as...
That explains why I got the screener, because I was wondering why I would get a screener of something that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Also, Netflix, for the screener stuff, they like to send people codes.
Yeah.
They send people codes specifically to get on Netflix to
watch
stuff.
If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about when we say screener, a screener is, like, that the Academy, whether it's the Producers Guild, the Directors Guild, the SAG Actors Guild, or the TV and Film Academy for voting, they send you DVDs of the films before voting happens for all the award shows. Golden
or Globes. iTunes codes, or Netflix codes, or private links. Or there's a lot of different ways you can get stuff beforehand.
So when we say screeners, that's what we're talking about. Those DVDs that get mailed to your house, and it's you kind of have a... You're not... I don't have movie nights at my house. Definitely not. But some people do.
Like what I was asking for for the Springsteen thing before last night, so I could for sure having seen it today...
Yeah.
I was totally asking around for that link before last night when it was live, and I don't know them people, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
that's 2019 goal.
2019 goal. We've all got them.
Speaking of 2019 goals, for obvious reasons, we are off for the next 2 weeks. So instead of an upcoming top three, we're going to do a top five.
Mm-hmm.
So my number five is a two-parter. For starters, December 25th, Avengers Infinity War. That didn't make my initial list.
Oh, boy.
So we can kind of call this a six. However, it will get bumped if Black Mirror debuts on December 28th.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Hear me out. Netflix, a couple months ago, tweeted something that said Black Mirror would be coming out December 28th and then immediately deleted the tweet.
Oh, boy. Drama.
I'm hedging my bet to say that Black Mirror will be dropping December 28th and you should be looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Ah.
That's number five. Number four, December 18th. That'll be very shortly. That is Ellen DeGeneres, Relatable.
Wow, this has gotten so much press. I cannot wait to see.
She has not done a comedy special at all.
No.
Pretty much since the daytime show.
Yeah, and she's supposedly pissed. And she's like, supposedly lets out like a really mean side of her because she's like tired of being perceived. There's a whole write-up in the New York Times.
Oh, my.
Her brother and Portia both weigh in where she's like, you know, I'm tired of being the nice girl. I want to quit daytime. So I'm really excited to see the special and see if we get to hear some of her perspective firsthand. She did not comment in the New York Times article.
I hadn't heard any of this. I'm actually very excited because you think Ellen DeGeneres, I paint
she's
her
tired of that.
I paint her with the brush that she's trying to ditch with this Netflix special. I am now excited for this Netflix special. Yeah. Number three, I have Alexa and Katie season 2. Oh.
Yes!
That is December 26th.
I'm so excited. I'm glad you're way too excited.
I am excited for you.
Yes.
Thank you. I'll give you that. My happiness is your happiness.
Exactly. It is a shared collective happiness for Alexa and Katie season 2. Number three, with Sandra Bullock. This one looks very interesting. Bird Box.
Yeah.
I love Sandra. I'll watch anything she does.
December 21st. I've heard some stuff.
Yeah.
I will watch her shite movies. I will watch her golden movies. I will watch her read the phone book. I love her.
Oh,
I will watch
Steve. That. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love you, Sandra.
I think I do think Sandra Bullock can do no wrong. I've heard this is
Sandy.
Similar to The Quiet Place. I heard this is some type of take up on The Quiet Place. I'm very excited to hear. Yeah.
Oh, shoot. It's a horror movie?
It is.
It is. But you already said that you will be watching it. So you heard it here first.
Dang it.
We trapped you.
Yeah.
And number one, I am most excited for this coming up. January 1st, 2019, a series of unfortunate events. Series number 3.
Already?
Oh, okay.
Season 3?
Those kids are young. You got to keep filming.
Yeah, I guess you're
I'm reading the room. I'm the most excited for this one.
We're so excited that you're excited.
Yay! Your happiness is our happiness.
Our happiness.
It happened. I'm very excited for the show. I think this is one of the like a top five show on Netflix for me.
It is really good. I just didn't really, you know.
So if you think I missed something, please let me know And if you want to talk about some baking shows and some Christmas shows and Bird Box, and make sure Ashley Chaney has seen Bird Box. Ashley, where can the people find you on Twitter?
Guys, don't forget to tell me what you're eating, where you're traveling to, what kind of dogs you're petting. Talk to me about all that good stuff. And, of course, what you're watching on Netflix at Ashley on Camera across all social media. It's so good to be back.
Yeah. Well, and, of course, thank you guys so much for joining us in the chat. You guys were fantastic. Zias Bilou, Sochil 4, Star Drew, of course, Drew Baldwin. If you're also listening to us on iTunes, make sure to give us 5 stars because the other ones just don't work at all. Thank you guys so much again for joining us this whole year. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I am Amy Cassandra Martinez, and you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of cool wrestling related stuff on YouTube, including tonight where I'm covering WWE TLC with a very interesting format with my friend George Hermosa. Come on and join me. I'm sure I'll tweet the link. Thank you. And good night.
See you
Bye, everyone. See you next year.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.